I'm John Carter, joined by
Kenny Hall,
and you're listening to Hardly Casual. Today we're bringing you the news, and looks like one of the first things we have up is No Man's Sky has been leaked.
Yeah, but has it?
Yeah, that's a good point. If one guy plays through a massive game and quote-unquote beats it, which, I mean, a game like this, the definition of beat is variable.
Yeah, yeah.
Your primary goal is to get to the center of the galaxy. If one guy purchases a copy for $1,300 and games the system via a, I don't know, an in-game tradable item that you can mine and hyperdrives it, you know, expedites his way to the center of the galaxy.
Right. Is that really 30 hours of gameplay?
Is that really 30 hours of gameplay? And is he done? You know, no. You know, is this guy finished with this game at this point? Is No Man's Sky invalid because one man has beat it in 30, 35 hours?
So would it then be his sky at that
point? Ah! Oh, yeah, what was his name?
One man's
it was
sky?
Like Damien, spelled weird.
Yeah.
So is it No Damien Sky, or is it Only Damien Sky? Should we rename the game?
No one knows anymore.
No one knows.
No, like, I think my biggest issue with that whole story is this guy is, he bought the game for $1,300. He's not experienced any of the patch, which is apparently a massive patch they're going to be dropping.
Well,
on
I mean, that's the thing too. There's the day one patch, which isn't in his copy that he played.
Right.
There's also major question as to whether or not his copy is a gold copy, a final copy of the game. It's more than likely a late June build that got leaked or somehow exposed or stolen.
So realistically, that game was probably built, the disc he has was probably built around May.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And the game was originally supposed to launch, I believe, June 21st. So it looks like he maybe has one of the rarest copies of the game that was built for that original launch.
Right.
Pre-patch.
Where they decided that the game wasn't all that they wanted
to be. When Sean Murray himself came out and said, hey, there's fine-tunements and polish that we need to do this, that we want to do to this to ensure that it is of a higher caliber of quality.
Right.
So, I mean, coming away from that, can we complete... It's very irritating. I listened to a podcast earlier today, and I won't flat out tell which podcast it was, but I mean the girl in it, the lady in it said that she it ruined the game for her because she wanted everyone to get the game day one and for it to be an arms race, a complete all out race to the center of the galaxy.
Hey John.
And because one man has already been there, it's ruined the game for her.
Hey John, you want me to tell you something?
Yeah, sure. Hit me.
The game's still not ruined for me.
Yeah.
You know how? I know how to use the bloody internet.
Oh!
It's
called closing the laptop, or pressing the button on the iPad, or pressing the button on the phone.
Or minimizing the screen, or just don't click the freaking link.
You don't have, that's the thing, like, I mean, there's always, in her thought process behind it, someone's already made it there. There is always someone in the world better than you or faster than you.
Sure.
At everything.
Or has
anything.
More money than you in this case.
Yeah, I mean, I like to write. There's always a better writer out there.
Yep.
I mean, I like to draw. There's someone out there. There are many people out there with more artistic quality than what I have. There are much better game players out there. There are people that do this, quote unquote, for a living.
Yep.
There are Korean and Chinese houses of games that play nothing but Dota and StarCraft, all these other competitive games. I mean, someone is always going to be better at you at everything. Just because someone is better or quicker than you does not mean you just, I'm out. I give up.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. Sure, I agree.
Here's the thing, Kenny. I'm still excited for No Man's Sky.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And in fact, from what little leaks I have perceived from, you know, you'll see an article, and then if you don't click on the article, you'll still see, like, the start of certain paragraphs, depending on how they have it cut.
Sure.
And just from seeing those little blurbs that your eyes naturally progress down to and skim across, I'm still excited. If not, I'm a little more excited.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's still going to be a great game.
Yep.
I'm assuming that it's still going to be long, and I'm probably going to get more than 30 hours out of it.
Yep.
With 18 quintillion planets, that's 18 with 18 zeros behind
and
it.
And I'm a bizarre player. I'm completely bizarre. Like, I am, with open world games, I more often than not just find myself wandering around like some aimless asshole.
Sure. And like, if I can explore, if I can have fun with it, I'm not going to try to like jet my way to the center of the universe just because arbitrarily someone else is going to beat me there.
That's for me, that's not why I'm excited for No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Sure, at some point I'm going to become curious about what is at the center.
Right.
Naturally, because there's something there that they promised.
It's a Tootsie Pop.
Yeah, I don't care if it's a Tootsie Pop, a Golden Chicken.
A Tootsie Pop?
A Tootsie that's Pop.
That's a totally different type of pop.
Wait, is that not what they're called? They're not Tootsie Pops?
No, it's Tootsie Pop.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So you learn something every day.
Yep.
Every day. I could have swore they were Tootsie Pop.
No, Tootsie Pop.
You can tell how many Tootsie Pops?
Tootsie Pops?
Tootsie Pop. You can tell how many Tootsie Pops I eat.
So what about this? Follow me here. Uh-huh. In the center of the galaxy, it's just a giant gathering of Juggalos.
Oh, God. Only if we could destroy them with hellfire.
No, they're indestructible at that point.
Oh,
they're just trying to figure out how magnets work.
Then I'm never going to the center of the galaxy, ever. I would rather it be a golden chicken.
It's just a big, dark, honorable.
I would rather just have like one giant golden chicken just like grind around.
It's Faygo and Juggalos everywhere.
Oh, you're killing my dreams, Kenny. You're killing my dreams. this is supposed to be, No Man's Sky is supposed to be a friendly place for me. Like a getaway, like a dreamscape of space nonsense.
Now it's going to be a dream space of painted faces and God. Faygo.
I'm gonna have nightmares now. Like, I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to be like, I'm going to be dreaming that I'm flying through space. And all of a sudden, like a giant clown-faced man is going to pop up in my window.
And ask you if you want to smoke weed.
Yeah, absolutely. God. I'm out. I'm going to wake up more angry than I've ever been in my life.
And what if I'm right? What if Sean Murray is like a secret closet juggalo?
He's a secret. Oh, I can't do this.
You can't do it.
I can't do it. Oh, I'm out. I quit the podcast again. This is the second time in what?
Yes!
In less than 20 episodes. It's your podcast, Kenny. Take it away.
So I'm excited about No Man's Sky, aka the Dark Carnival.
Well, here's one of the things I've heard that's actually really cool. And something I challenge everyone who's played the game to do it. One of the things I've seen on Reddit and local communities through GameFAQs and whatever forums you see, it seems like there's a kind of a synonymous building of people who you start the game, and when you start the game and go through the tutorial, you pop up on a planet. And the planet for everyone is completely different. With 18 quintillion planets, everyone will pop up on a unique planet. And what they're doing is the second you get out of the tutorial, there's a very set view for everyone. You are X amount of feet away from your ship, and you're staring across the horizon.
Yeah.
And what the challenge is that don't touch your controller. Right after the tutorial, take a screenshot. If you're on PlayStation 4, hit your share button. If you're on PC, do print screen, whatever the case is. And then that's what you're going to post, because we're wanting the No Man's Sky community is wanting to make like a giant GIF or a repository, a YouTube video to kind of like speedily clip through all the different planets that people are starting on.
Yeah.
And I think that sounds super cool.
Yeah, please post it to us as well at Hardly Casual on Twitter.
Absolutely.
We would love to see your starting planet.
Definitely.
And see it before the Juggalos come in and form the planet and the rest of the
overlords. Here's the thing. We've seen the ship armadas in the game,
yeah,
right?
We don't know what's in those.
When this podcast goes live, it will be the launch of
the day of
No Man's Sky. It'll be the day of. So, Juggalos could be coming. They could be in those ship armadas. We could be destroying.
Oh, man.
Maybe I'll like this game more then.
Yeah, and maybe they're all led by Wesley Snipes from Demolition Man.
This is bizarre.
I thought, aren't
Juggalos like super racist? Is that a thing?
Oh, hell yeah. I forgot about that.
I don't think Wesley Snipes is going to work out for them.
Are they racist? I don't know enough about them.
I assume they're racist because every time I see them, they're like super white guys
that
with face paint.
That are usually like chubby?
And being really violent and like doing drugs.
Yeah, maybe. And they don't understand science. So
I know we have angered at least
6% of the internet.
At least a fraction of the internet right now. Hopefully the people that listen to Hardly Casual either don't know what a Juggalo is and will Google search what it is and be immediately appalled.
Yep.
Or that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
If you are a Juggalo, we are in no way, shape, form, or fashion
associated with you.
Yeah. Nope. Don't want any part
usually,
of that.
Usually, my motto, at least when I started Hardly Casual, is inclusion, but it has a clause. And that clause is inclusion minus Juggalos.
Oh man. This podcast is brought to you by Faygo.
Oh god, no, it's not. No, that's not true. That is absolutely not true.
But no, I'm really excited about No Man's Sky. Back to being serious for.
And have any of the leaks breached through to you from what his playthrough was?
I've shared a few of the videos out just because some people enjoy
through
watching.
Social media. Yeah.
I don't want anything spoiled for me. I don't even want to see like any more art or anything like that from the game. I just want, whenever I pick that game up and I put it in my console and I play it for the first time, I want it to be 100% fresh content.
Yeah. And I'm okay with the things that officially come from the team.
Right.
Like the pillar. Well, they did the Four Pillars trailer.
Right.
Or trailers. And I'm okay with that stuff because I feel like that is, it's catered to their audience. It's catered to us.
Right.
And it's cut out for us as people.
And
who
it's
are,
only shown you very small portions of the game. I don't want to see someone else play the game. I think this game is something that you need to experience. Yeah. I don't think it's something you want to play, but I think it's something you need to sit down and have like a few hours by yourself and just enjoy.
And that's why I'm going dark, because I don't want even, and I don't consider myself someone who is like influenced by, you know, someone else's opinion, but I don't even want my unconscious or my subconscious to be affected by it with this game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm, you know, hype is a dangerous thing, but I am very hyped for this game.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still not expecting anything of it which they haven't promised.
Right.
Right. I feel like I'm being very reasonable in my expectations, but I'm still very hyped for it.
Yeah.
So going into that, that's why I'm going internet dark on it. That's why I'm going to have my notepad along with my gameplay and preferably playing with a headset, maybe in the dark. But just really absorbing and getting into that environment, that atmosphere.
You know, one thing that does kind of have me excited is the prospect of this game possibly having VR.
Because then you can really jack into No Man's Sky.
Yeah, like, I feel like that would be the game that would just...
Yeah.
If they announced for 100%, I know we talked to a Sony rep and she had mentioned that it might be, but if I find out 100%, I'm probably going to drop the $400 day
one.
It's going to be really hard for me not to, because I feel like at that point, that's something I want to experience very, very badly.
Yeah, and just for the fact that, like, I mean, sure, even if you have 18 quintillion planets and you have a procedural generation, you're going to come across elements that are similar throughout your playtime.
Right.
And the longer you put it, the more time you put into the game, the more similar things are going to be. But I've played and actively play games that run on a very similar maths situation,
right?
You know, with procedural generation, and they are sci-fi games that are very much in the vein of No Man's Sky, and I haven't got bored with them,
right?
So I don't see myself easily getting bored with No Man's Sky. I see it even after I get my vacation time, quote unquote, with No Man's Sky. I still see myself going back after patches, and even just, you know, maybe a lazy Saturday or Sunday afternoon, going back and say, hey, I want to go explore just a random planet, just see what's there. Why not?
Yeah.
And because this game is so massive, you're never going to see everything. Even if it is the same thing, you still get that question mark in your head. You still get that curiosity flowing.
Yeah.
So I see this as a game that'll carry... I see it with a lot of legs. I see it with more legs than people are giving it credit for.
Yeah, I agree. I think that one of the big things that this game has going for it is the ability to just draw you in and make you just a part of this universe. Yeah. And that's something that not a lot of games have going for it anymore. Mm-hmm. Most games are very piecemeal.
And something that I learned, too, about myself is I like a certain amount of you know, that mundanity or that serene moments in video games where you're really not maybe doing anything. You're just kind of zoning out. And playing something like Rebel Galaxy or Rodina, you know, here recently on Steam, or even Pulsar the Lost Colony, all space sci-fi games, there's moments in each of these games where you're just drifting through space. You know, either and most of them you can choose your speed, but even at hyperspeed, when you're in a large galactic environment, you're going to be going rather slow comparatively.
Right.
Because galaxies are huge. That's how it works. So those moments are serene and fulfilling for me.
Yeah.
And so this game, because it's so solo focused in a certain realm, you know, I see myself just completely coming across those moments where I need to wind down and, you know, it's hot summer day or maybe in the winter when it gets super cold, you know, don't want to go anywhere then, you know, just settling down and just easing out and relaxing to just drifting through space.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's
fun.
This game for me.
Yeah, or even if you're not drifting through space, if you're just going orbit onto a planet and just kind of go around that planet, see what it looks like, you know.
Why not? And that's what I'm saying. Just
people still play Minecraft.
Yeah.
And Minecraft isn't, I mean, it's procedurally generated in the way the the worlds are put together, mm-hmm. but even that's only so procedurally generated by the seed. Like,
you still have people that will run streams of them not even building anything in Minecraft. They will just be, they'll pick a cardinal direction and they will go straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually you get far enough in Minecraft and it takes weeks, I think weeks or even months of going straight because how big Minecraft is, how it generates, you know, specifically on PC. That you eventually start to break the game because the math inside the game, you know, behind the engine breaks down and you start seeing really weird stuff.
Yeah.
You still have people that do that.
Yeah.
And you still have people that watch that on streams.
Yeah.
So you're definitely going to have people who are watching No Man's Sky and playing No Man's Sky just to see what's on that planet out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Picking a direction, going that direction, exploring whatever's there.
Yeah. And I think that'll be a lot of fun to do.
Definitely.
I do wonder, like, and maybe this is just curiosity, but what, you know, we know that as the galaxy get, as you get closer to the center of the galaxy, everything becomes more tight and, you know, there's more planets.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens when you go out to the furthest reaches of the
was
galaxy?
The like same
that,
thing.
That is
Thank
what
you.
Really, really
Thank you.
My interest.
Everyone's in, I honestly believe you're one of the only people I've seen to say this, and this is diving through forums and everything. And, but I thought I was maybe the only one that's had that thought is how far out can we get before things get really,
really wonky?
The opposite. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Like where there's
so,
nothing out there?
Everyone's so focused on the center. I actually want to seek out places where it's completely devoid of life.
Yeah.
Or very little life. Like that's, like I said, once again, I'm a weird open world player. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, yeah, sure. I mean, I want to get as far as from the Juggalos as possible. I mean, if I can go like to
is
like,
is there an anti-Juggalo group now? Is that how this works?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we're gonna launch it. No Man's Sky, anti-Juggalos.
So do we paint our faces in a different manner or not paint our faces at all?
We actually paint the back of our heads.
Back, okay, okay.
You have
I
to
get it.
You have to leave the hair on top and shave the back and paint a face on the back. Yeah.
So if I paint a Pokeball on the back of my head,
well,
or the back of my hair, rather.
You're the reason why we're no longer on Earth then, because
uh-huh.
Earth has been destroyed at this point by the apocalypse.
I get it.
So you're the reason why we're no longer on Earth.
I'm the reason?
Yes.
I'm the reason.
Yes.
I am solely the reason why we're no longer here. It's my fault.
Yes. Who has played more Pokemon Go, John?
You're right. You're right.
Yep.
You've settled this. It's me.
Yep.
Oh my god. Okay, so branching away from No Man's Sky and the leak that we got there, we're still excited. I mean, you can go out and seek these leaks and what has been ruminated from it itself, but take everything that you see and everything that you hear with a grain of salt, because it has not been 100% confirmed whether or not this is a gold-pressed final copy of the game. And even if it is, there is still a day one patch that will hit on the release day, and they're already doing, and this is, you know, quoting from Hello Games and Sean Murray, they're already working on another patch that they've just quote-unquote finished that has to go through certification, that is another sizable patch that not only adds, you know, more fixes, but it is content. He very specifically and blatantly said content from the next one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, what this guy that paid $1,300 is not the game that you will play. And that's what we can look forward to.
Yeah.
So, branching away from that, Kenny, did you like Shadow of the Colossus?
I love Shadow of the Colossus.
I did too. That's
okay.
That's actually one of my favorite games.
Okay. It's up there.
Like, it's in my top 10.
Yeah.
Easily.
It might be for me, but
okay.
Either way.
Uh-huh.
Why do you ask?
Pray of the Gods.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to pray to the gods? Wait. No, let me check my notes. Wait, before you answer that. No. Pray for the gods. And this is pray with an E. So that means you're being fed on?
So are you saying you're hunting gods in this game?
I think it's quite the opposite. I think the gods are hunting you, Kenny. Pray for the gods.
Sounds like a normal day in my life.
Okay, yeah, sure. God, you live a weird life, man.
I
see where you work, Kitty. It's not that bizarre.
Yeah, you're fair. No, that game looks fantastic.
Yeah,
it really
absolutely
does.
It looks like a sequel to Shadow of the Colossus.
And
there's no bones about it.
No,
it looks like
no,
a snowy environment Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, it's Skyrim meets Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, what? Everything gets labeled as Skyrim.
No, no.
Kitty.
I've not said that No Man's Sky looks like Skyrim.
That's true.
I've not said that gang beasts look like Skyrim.
I'll give it to you. You're fine. You're in the clear there. But if Skyrim, like Dark Souls and everything, and other monikers are kind of overused.
Sure. I get that, but no, it looks good. It looks like a, like you just said, a snowy non-Skyrim.
From the looks of it, from what we've seen in the one like minute long trailer, you are a female of possibly Nordic descent. You know, it does have.
I thought it looked more like almost like Inuit in a sense.
She wasn't nearly dark enough. She was very white, and I think she had red or auburn hair.
Maybe
I'd have to go back and watch it again. But yeah, she, definitely snow.
Now you're making
plain
me question.
As a female. Yeah, I'll make you question yourself, Kitty.
Okay,
but no, I mean it flat out looks like a Shadow of the Colossus where you're in a snowy environment and you're playing as a female. Like, I mean, is there anything else you need? I mean,
yeah,
that's all I need. I need. You had me at looks like Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, we've not seen a whole lot from the game.
For a game that's so cult popular and widely acceptable in its...
almost broken state?
I mean, it's such a cult classic that it's really surprising that more people haven't copied that game.
Well, and let's be honest, Shadow of the Colossus didn't play... super great on the PlayStation
when it launched on the PS2, it had really bad frame issues, and honestly now the way to play it is the remastered version on PS3.
Yeah, and even that, like, going, like, I don't know, did you ever go back and play it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've played the game too many times.
It's one of those games where, yeah, it's fun, but it's very hard. Like, when I went back and tried to play it, it was very hard for me to get back into it because I already knew everything. There's no in between metagame, you know, it's just go fight the Colossus again.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you've done it once, you know, it's kind of like playing a God of War
game.
Yeah,
I agree. My second time through it playing the remaster, I should say second time, it was probably really my fourth or fifth time playing it, the remastered one.
Yeah.
It was really, you don't have that mystique that you have with the first time.
Right.
The first time playing through, like, once you discover, like, I can cut the tails off of these sparkly lizards and that does something. And, like, you know, maybe something happens if I climb to the very, very top of that tower, even though I don't have the stamina meter for it. So I need to cut more lizard tails. And, you know, you're looking for your first playthrough, you're always looking for a mystery.
Yeah.
You're always looking for what's around that bend, even if the answer is nothing. And usually in that game, the answer is nothing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of content was taken out of the game before release.
Oh, really?
There were supposed to be, like, it was over three, I believe, extra colossi that were supposed to be in the game.
I didn't know that.
And there are additional areas that you can only reach through playing the game on PC and bugging it out and clipping through areas and stuff like that, which is really neat in and of itself. But going back to it on the remastered version, I really had the issue where I'm just like, sure, I mean, I'm having just as much fun beating the colossi, but I already know how to beat them. I'm having more joy just absorbing the art style and the story. I'm not getting that same level of mystique and grandiose question as to what I'm doing and how I'm going to do it. It's going to be really fun seeing this game and seeing if this game is open world like Shadow of the Colossus and seeing if it has the same vague sensibilities that Shadow of the Colossus had as well.
I think one of my biggest concerns is we're starting to see a resurgence of all these games where it's boss fight only.
Yeah.
We saw that with Fury.
And a lot of them have been misses and not hits.
Yeah. Yeah, and we said
Titan Souls was another one.
I never played it.
an indie top down indie game that, you know, you play as I think it was a little boy who has a bow and one arrow. And this one arrow you can shoot and you need to hit the bosses. I think all the bosses can be dealt with in one or two hits. And your arrow you can retrieve. And it's just you have this one reusable.
I've seen that game. I never played.
You have this one reusable arrow. And it was okay. It was admirable in its own right, but it wasn't the knock it out of the park Shadow of the Colossus clone that it was kind of aiming to be.
Yeah. And I mean, that's fun and that's all well and good, but those games are starting to wear thin on me already.
Yeah. I see that.
It's something that I'm not going
to. I'm ready for someone to, like, take the chalice or to, you know, carry that torch forward of, you know, Shadow of the Colossus proper, because as I'm really excited for The Last Guardian, which is brought to you by the makers of Shadow of the Colossus. But I don't think it is going to be anything like Shadow of the Colossus.
I also don't know if it's going to be good.
Maybe. I'm willing to hold off. I mean, we'll get to that when it comes out, because it's October, I believe.
We'll see.
It's October. But, I mean, I'm definitely going to purchase it, because I've waited so long for that game.
I'm going to gamefly it, and here's why. I think it's just hit that weird.
It could end up being
spaghetti.
A broken miss.
Yeah.
It could be spaghetti at this point. Yeah, absolutely. And I see that, and I respect that. But at this point, like, I'm a big fan of Uida, and which is the design director behind Eco, Shadow of the Colossus, and Last Guardian.
Right.
And I want to support him, and I'm already in love with the visual style of The Last Guardian, but I have no illusions to it being a Shadow of the Colossus successor at all.
Moving away from actual games into a little bit more...
Kenny, you want to talk hardware?
Yeah, abstract. Can I lay down a rap for you?
You can.
I'm not going to.
Is it the Pokey rap? Electro, Diglett, Nidoran, Mankey, Venusaur, Rattata, Firo, Pidgey, Seaking, Jolteon, Dragonite, Gastly, Ponyta,
Vaporeon, Poliwrath, Butterfree! Catch him, gotta catch him all. Pokemon! No.
Oh, okay. Wait, is it the Mario rap?
Hey, paisanos, it's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show!
With the Mario Brothers and Plumbins again, we're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers.
1990s. You remember Super Mario Brothers Super Show?
Wait. Can it be the Donkey Kong grab?
Even better.
Yeah.
Okay.
N64?
Either way, the NX.
Donkey Kong is here.
the NX, we found out some stuff about it.
Mm-hmm. No confirmation yet, but it looks like it's probably going to be cartridge-based.
Yeah, and it's going to have the same hardware that the NVIDIA Shield has.
Uh-huh. But it could be modified, and we don't know which version of the NVIDIA Shield, to be specific.
Well, we do know that it's one of the Integra chips.
But we don't know which one.
Sure.
It could be a newer one, or it could be a modified one of the existing.
I'm a little hesitant now. Like
I am on board, and I cannot wait to drop down my money on the Nintendo NX.
It does feel more Nintendo weird shit that they do.
Yeah, I like it. Here's all I need from the Nintendo NX. If it is this console handheld hybrid, you know, what they've leaked is that it is a handheld system that can dock into your TV. That's really all that we know, aside from the rumors of it being cartridge-based.
Right.
We also know for a fact that Nintendo has said within the first 6 months, Zelda, which is the new Zelda Breath of the Wild, a new Mario game, and a Pokemon game. Now, we don't know whether or not it's going to be the Pokemon Sun and Moon that launches in November, whether it's a port of that or whether it's an own original title. I really hope it's Pokemon Sun and Moon ported to it, because that means we'll be getting proper Pokemon games in HD.
Yeah.
Now, here's all I need of this system. I just need, me personally, a HD handheld that I can, when at my leisure, play on my television.
Yeah, I can see that. I will give you that, mm-hmm. You know, one thing Nintendo does really well is handhelds.
Yep.
The 3DS was a phenomenal system. I just didn't like the 3D on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't hardly ever use the 3D. Maybe 1% to 2% of my entire time with the 3DS did I use the 3D. And really, the only drawback to it is the horrible aliasing and resolution of the 3DS when I play it now. And I still play my 3DS at this point semi-weekly.
The way I would describe the 3DS play for me is it's almost like I'm playing a retro game.
Yeah.
Like, I know the graphics are going to be utter shit, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, like, going back and playing Final Fantasy
X. But here's the thing. If you somehow told me, John, when you go to sleep tonight and you wake up tomorrow, before you wake up, a nice little beautiful tech fairy is going to come down, and they're going to bestow upon your 3DS the beautiful visage of HD, I would wake up the next morning, and I would not go to work. Yeah. Like, I would, yes.
Well, you wouldn't be able to, because that fairy would have murdered you, taken your wallet, and done God knows what with your child.
Is that what fairies do?
Well, I mean, if it's a No Man's Sky fairy.
Oh, okay, yeah. If it's a Juggalo fairy, is that what you're saying? Okay, God. Whoa. This has already gone too deep.
Sorry. Everything's a Juggalo now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that it could be a really cool system. And Nintendo is known for their levels of weirdness. So maybe they have what it takes to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm...
That's the thing, like, it doesn't have to compete with the PS4. It doesn't have to compete with Xbox One. I don't need photorealism. I don't need graphical fidelity. All I want is Nintendo style.
Right.
But in HD.
Right. And it would be really weird to play a, like, Uncharted level detailed Mario.
I know, wouldn't it?
Like, yeah. Could you, I don't want to see Mario in that. Fit.
I don't want to. I don't want to play Mass Effect on a Nintendo system.
Yeah,
like, I want quirky Nintendo style things that reminisce and remind me of being an innocent child who just wants to sit down and just have fun.
Yeah, like, I don't want to play a gritty Donkey Kong.
I don't even want a thought provocative game. Like
I take that back. I do want to play a gritty Donkey Kong. I take that back.
Sure.
You know.
Okay, yeah, that actually does sound kind of cool. I want like a badass gangster Donkey Kong and like a,
just brooding and dark,
like a semi-futuristic realm in which he has maybe a pistol.
Yeah,
right.
And he's hunting down those who harmed Hanabi or whatever is that gorilla's name that was shot a little while ago at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Harambe.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Give me that Donkey Kong, Nintendo.
Yeah, he's like a social justice warrior.
Yeah. Okay. Half the game is you like sending out angry tweets.
Oh. That just got so much better. Yes. I already had like a pixel perfect idea and it was kind of like Grand Theft Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
But you just made it better with the tweet system.
Yeah, no, yeah, you got to have
the
tweet
system. That's what they'll have on the back of the box, like, you know, specialized, you know.
Yeah, you get, and Nintendo, you can do what you always do and package another controller with it like for the tweeting.
And it could have like a built-in Facebook and Twitter integration, maybe even some Snapchat, where you could social media your faux social media in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in Donkey Kong, you're like, you know, raging to people who hurt animals, but then you're also socially integrating and posting what you just posted in the game on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. That's so meta.
We maybe just made the worst game in history.
Or the best.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Tweet Plus.
So, like, I mean, a lot of people are really bitter about, you know, Nintendo NX and the things that we're hearing from it. But I'm more happy than ever. Like, I'm not hearing anything that's like, oh, God. Like, the only thing that concerns me, because I'm pretty sure I'm willing to say I know we're getting this HD handheld, I'm worried about battery life.
That I'm not so worried about. So here's what my guess is, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to go the route of the NS. I'm sorry, of the 3DS, and have the battery be lithium ion or something like that, equivalent.
Yep.
I think what they're going to do is, I don't think it's going to be a full like portable handheld. I think it'll be like handheld within your house, so like you'll have to dock it to play.
Like, so like a gamepad, but with a large range.
Yeah.
Instead of like, hey, oh God, I went through two walls instead of one. I can't use my gamepad anymore.
Right. Like. Yeah. At least that's my guess. I mean, maybe it'll be fully portable, but like, I'm guessing that you're going to have to dock it pretty frequently, because if it is HD, those things eat batteries. Like, I mean,
I could see it go either way, to be honest.
Remember the Game Gear?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Like, it would destroy, what was it, 4 AA batteries?
No, 6.
Was it 6?
Yeah, 3 on each side. Oh, man.
And it destroyed them in like in 40 hour, minutes?
Maybe.
It was like 40, 45 minutes.
Yeah, I remember I took my Game Gear on a, when I was a kid, I took it on a camping trip with us. Thinking, oh man, I have enough batteries. I got like a 24-pack of batteries. That was gone by like the second day.
Absolutely. And for those that don't know, for you know anyone in question, the Sega Game Gear was the competitor for the Game Boy, you know, Nintendo's Game Boy for a little while. And I say competitor lightly because, I mean, you couldn't play the thing because it couldn't stay up on batteries.
If it could have, it was incredible when
it
played.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Full color, full like 16-bit graphics.
Yep.
It was incredible for a little handheld. Anyways, moving away from the NX, we'll talk about a game that you want to talk about, John. Wolves of Midgar.
Yeah, Wolves of Midgar. I mean, by no means do I think it's going to be like the coming of Christ or anything. But Wolves of Midgar.
It's about Vikings.
Yeah, it is about Vikings. I mean, the coming of Thor.
Yeah,
The coming of Loki and Odin and maybe the Ragnaroks and
I love the Ragnaroks. I mean, I am a Viking for all intents and purposes.
Of course you are, Kitty. Of course you are.
Wolves
of Midgar is, to boil it down, it is a Diablo-style game, you know, top-down, isometric, but you are playing as a Viking.
Yeah.
And it is in Norse mythology. And that's enough for me from the pitch. From the minute trailer, that's enough.
Super gory
Vikings, you know, Viking lore, mythology, sure. Will it be good? We'll see.
Yeah, to me, it honestly looks like it could have done a little bit better as more of a Divinity-style game.
Yeah. So you're looking at, like, you maybe if it was turn-based.
Looking at the trailer.
I can see that because I feel like we're getting into a realm where the action.
Everything is Diablo style.
Everything's Diablo style, absolutely.
And, like, we went for years without having anything like that. And now, like, especially the phone market, when you click on, like, your Google Play Store, everything's like Diablo style action, dog.
I had a major problem recently where I was confusing two franchises for each other, and I was like, no, I'm sure this game is named this. I'm sure it's Van Helsing, and
Oh yeah.
You know, I was like, it's on Steam, but it's also on PS4, and I'm doing a search for it. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? I cannot find this game. And it turns out I was confusing Van Helsing, the top down Diablo style series, for Victor Vaughn.
Never even heard of that.
Which I mean, the art, the cover art, the style of the game, they look so similar.
Really?
Like almost indistinguishable. I'm sure players, who have played the games can tell me a million reasons why they're different.
Yeah.
But I mean, from a new purchaser, someone who was looking for something to casually play. Maybe, was just trying to check it out. I couldn't distinguish the two, and I was so confused. And I feel like it's been that way for the Diablo style action RPG market for a while now.
Well, did you ever play Path of Exile on PC?
Absolutely, it's a great game. It is Diablo 2.5.
Yeah, the only issue I had with that game was, I know this might sound a little heretic-ish, but
Heretic was a great game back in the day.
Yeah. No, level up system was a little bit too expansive. Like
it was.
You couldn't do anything in that game.
I actually spent a day, I will say a day of playing that game, but a day of just charting.
Research.
Researching like which constellation, because it's kind of the upgrade system set up like a constellation.
Yeah.
Which constellation I wanted to take to upgrade my character.
Yeah, and
that's kind of a lot of work for a game, especially one that's an action RPG.
Yeah, and especially one where, you're meant to have multiple playthroughs and all that. And, I have buddies who love that game, and that's fine.
And then you have games like a Grim Dawn, or you wear a Grim Dawn.
Yeah,
that's one that also crowdfunded.
Super simple.
Yeah, I mean, and it's basically, once again, distilling that Diablo 2 vibe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, same thing, but there are so many action RPGs. Everything wants to be a Diablo-like at this point.
Yeah, and that's why I really do have respect for games like Divinity, where, it shares that isometric, but that's about
but
it.
But it's being ballsy and choosing to be turn-based.
To be its own
so
thing.
So, in a sense, it has more in common with, a Fire Emblem or a Final Fantasy Tactics than it does Diablo.
And, I even enjoyed, the Sword Coast Legends game that came out.
Me too. Yeah, I mean, it's much more linear compared to Divinity. But it's thoroughly enjoyable.
It's Divinity Lite, basically.
Absolutely. In a sense, it's kind of like it's KOTOR. It's not the Old Republic.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's perfectly fine. Like I played it on PC, and I want to get back around to it because when I played it at first, it was a broken mess, and I've heard it's a lot better now.
Mm-hmm. It is, definitely. Yeah.
But, that's one of those games where I'm hoping that at some point they'll give it away on PlayStation Plus for free.
I want to see, like I said, Wolves of Midgar hooks me from the trailer from the Viking theme.
Right.
But going forward, it doesn't release until early 2017, I think, I believe. They said, but it is... it's early access now on Steam, I think. But I need to see something that is different. I need to see something that sets itself...
It looks very early access.
I need it to set itself apart.
I'll probably wait for it to go on Steam sale or maybe pick it up if they give it away free on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, I think they said, too, that the game's going to launch at like $40.
Oh, goodness.
I'm like, no.
You need to give that game away for like $20 at most.
I mean, at that point, go buy Grim Dawn. I think it's like $24.99
on
Steam.
Or go play Path of Exile for
free. It's just free. Yeah. Or pick up a copy of Diablo 3. You can find it on sale all the time.
Yeah, and that game's great on PlayStation 4 as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean that's Wolves of Midgar in a nutshell. And August has a couple of... I wanted to go over the PlayStation Plus titles on PS4 specifically for August because there's two notable titles that I really think people should play. Do you know what they are?
No clue.
Okay.
I've given up.
Oh, nice. So you said you wanted to get on... I remember us talking.
Yeah.
A while back. This actually wasn't that long ago. But you said that you've given up on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. So I've... At this point, PlayStation Plus has given me nothing but poo games for the longest time. I don't want NBA 2K16 or whatever
what
it was.
You didn't love NBA 2K16?
Or Furry? Like, Fury, whatever.
That's what I was going to bring up. That's exactly what I was going to bring up. You didn't love Fury?
Like... It's a boss fight game. It's a bullet hell boss fight game.
And it's kind of broken.
Yeah.
Especially on consoles.
So, why do I need to continue to subscribe to PlayStation Plus, John? Tell me.
That's a good point, because I think at this point, even all the online games are playable without PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. The only reason why I pay for it is because I think you have to have it to watch Netflix.
I don't think that's true, actually.
Oh, really? Then yeah. I don't need it anymore.
Yeah. I think that you can... I think that's always been the thing with Sony, is that you can watch Netflix without it. I don't know if their terms of service has changed.
Yeah, well, but I think that like games like Overwatch, you do have to have PlayStation
Plus. Is Overwatch one of the ones that you have to have? I know that so many of the ones you don't have to have PlayStation Plus for.
Yeah.
I even think that Paragon, you don't have to have PlayStation Plus for.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, Paragon kind of plays by their own rules.
Yep. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, but either way, what are the free games?
Well, at least the PS4 ones that I wanted to go over, because, I mean, how many people play a Vita anymore, and how many people play on the PS3?
Yeah.
So we'll go by that argument. Rebel Galaxy.
Okay, it's a good game.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, you get your...
PC.
Yep, so you get your Han Solo pirate simulator, space pirate simulator. Please, people, go play that. If you have PlayStation Plus, go download that. Even if you're on Steam, like, pick it up on a sale. It's such a great game.
Yeah.
If you've ever wanted... I mean, you're not going to get your third-person, you know, camera controlling your character view, but you are effectively going to be doing everything that a Han Solo-type character, or if you're a fan of Firefly...
Yeah.
You know, you've ever wanted to, you know, commandeer that ship and do quests and just, you know, live out the life of a veritable sci-fi space pirate, this is the game for you.
Yep.
Go and download it on PlayStation Plus or buy it on Steam. 100%. And I think it's also on Xbox One. Or you also have our other free title of the month for PS4, which is Tricky Towers.
Okay.
And Tricky Towers is the physics Tetris game. If you're looking for a quick, you know, competitive co-op game to play, we've talked about this.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week on the
absolutely.
Podcast on what,
so,
what we've been playing.
Yep, it'll be in the what you've been playing. But, you know, I definitely heartily recommend it. And that's just something I wanted to give a little, you know, tidbit or PSA for. Away from that, Kenny, have you played Darkest Dungeon?
Yeah, I played a lot of that on PC.
Well, tell listeners what you would describe Darkest Dungeon as.
Oh, man. It is a turn-based strategy game, I guess you would say.
Yep.
With a heavy influence on you always losing characters.
Yep, and with heavy RPG elements.
Yeah. It almost even has a little bit of a Lovecraftian feel with
Major Lovecraft. I wouldn't say a little bit. I would say it has a huge Lovecraftian vibe.
Yeah,
so
your characters have sanity. So as you're fighting and as they take damage and, you know, kill other people and see these grotesque, horrible monsters, they start losing their minds and you have to, you know, send them away to get, like, basically, like, into daycares where they get showed very nice pictures of puppies and kittens playing because, you know, they're going
to
go right
something
back
to
into
that effect. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to go right back into a murder dungeon
where
they're going to see horrible, horrible monsters. And it's a really good game. Like, it's one of those games that it's not for the faint of heart.
No.
It's not for those who
it's
easily
not easy.
Frustrated.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I don't even think there's a difficulty.
There is now. It's sort of, because there are some elements that they added to the game that made it harder, but they have added, like, you can go into the options and tick some of those harder elements off and turn those off.
Yeah.
But much like sanity in the real world and insanity, there are different types of mental ailments.
Right.
So your characters in game, through seeing the horrors that they see of going through their quests and going through their dungeons, they can develop different types of insanity. From just, you know, flat out fear to, you know, multiple personalities and all the different types of things.
And they all have different types. Like I know one of my characters had gotten, and she had a something that happened to her, and it caused her to, I want to say it was multiple personalities, but it caused her, there was like a 1 in 25% chance that during combat she would just start attacking my other players.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, that sounds bad, but it's really bad when she's the only person left and she's hitting herself.
Yeah.
Because... You know, she's...
It's really neat, too, the way the game pulls it off, because, I mean, there's dialogue for all this stuff as well, and there's a recognition.
And the art style is really neat.
The art style is probably the most attractive part to it. Actually, what made me purchase the game originally, back when it was in early access, was the art style and how gorgeous it looks. And when your characters are insane, how you heal them is each character has something that is more beneficial for them mentally. So... For some guy, if he's starting to lose it, the answer may be to send him to the tavern. Maybe he just needs a beer.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's okay with seeing, you know, people get ripped to shreds and nasty, horrible, goopy, gross monsters, you know, if he simply has a beer. Other people need to go to a monastery or to a doctor or, you know, all these different other things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's very cool and a very it fulfills a very specific niche, and I feel like it's a game that not only fulfills a niche, but it's something I feel like if people who are not familiar with that type of play come to it, they may see something that they like that they wouldn't have.
Yeah, it's definitely very roguelike as well.
Yep.
Where you're going to be losing characters pretty on the regs.
Yeah. Yeah, and when your characters die, you'll be replacing them with new mercenaries.
Yeah. So. Do they still have brothels in the game?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, because that was another thing.
Some people just need the sex-em-ups to get their insanity to go away.
Yeah.
And I really like the basis behind it is their core ideology from it was that, like, you know, these are pen and paper players. You know, they originally got their core love for RPGs from pen and paper. And they're thinking, you know, we treat fantasy monsters and creatures with a lack of fear, with a lack of, you know, they're just creatures to be conquered. We're all Conan the Barbarian, and we're all going to destroy them. And that's fine and good in its own realm, but I like that they questioned that and said, you know, if your real person saw some of these things, they would flipping lose it or be cowering in a corner.
Another thing I really liked was, is there a risk versus reward system? Like, mm-hmm. you have a dungeon map, and you can see where you go. Like, it's all done on a little 2D plane where you decide to go left or right.
Yeah.
Let's say if you go left, there's a treasure chest down there, but you don't know what kind of horrible monster is lurking, and it's going to add another 6 steps to your
I've had that happen so many times because, I mean, just there is that temptation to just do, like, one more room. Like, sure, I know where the exit is. I know where to go to the next floor. I know where I reach a quote-unquote safe point, but I'm so tempted to go one or two more rooms deep in the opposite direction because I know there's going to be a chest or some kind of payoff. Or, you know, maybe I just have a hunch. You know, there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
And I've had many, you know, occasions that happen where I end up wiping nearly my whole team. Like, it's bad.
Yeah. No, I agree. I actually lost. Like, in those games, I always try to have, like, an A team and a B team.
Yep. Yep, same here. And I get so sad when I have to send my A team away to go recover.
Yeah.
Because I feel empty. I'm just like, no.
I remember I specifically had one run where I'd probably put 5.5 hours in this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And then my A team got wiped.
Yeah.
And immediately I was just like, oh, I don't know if I can continue playing on this run. And definitely. I think I've still got that save sitting there because I couldn't do it.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a good game. Definitely go check it out. It's
hits PS4 September 27th.
Yeah,
so,
and that's a game where it's not going to hurt to play it on console versus PC. Either one's a very novel option.
Unless it is an absolutely broken port, which I don't see. Like, yeah, I mean,
these guys have done a pretty good job so far.
I don't see any reason why this can't have the exact same fidelity with a controller.
Yep.
Do you watch anime, Kenny?
Not super big anime fan.
Well, this part's here for the weeaboos.
Weeaboo!
I'm not gonna lie. I used to be really into anime, especially like early to mid high school era. So yeah. it's been a while, and I'll watch one every once in a while on Netflix because Netflix has like a million animes or animes depending on how you say it. But one of them I've gotten recently was because of my wife.
Yeah,
and it's called Sword Art Online. Are you familiar with it at all?
I've actually watched part of that.
Okay, cool. So you're rather familiar. Sword Art Online, initially, when she was explaining it to me, I was like, oh, so it's Dot Hack.
Yeah, sure. That's what I thought, too, yeah.
Wait, they're like, no, it's Sword Art. And I'm like, so it's really not Dot Hack? Like, it's not like an offshoot or, you know, like a subgenre or like a subplot of Dot Hack? Dot Hack, for those that don't know, was a PS2 series that effectively had two runs, had two series, had Dot Hack and then Dot Hack GU. But it was essentially where you are, the way the story's set up, you are real people who are playing an MMO and that's your RPG. There really is no MMO. The MMO is actually a facade. It's just a structure of the story. Right. You are playing a game where the characters in the game are jacking into an MMO that is very, very realistic.
Right.
And that's how they spend their days, and they get locked and stuck in this MMO.
Right.
Sword Art Online has become insanely popular, more popular than Dot Hack ever was. And Dot Hack was pretty popular, especially in Japan.
Yeah.
Semi here. I consider it like a cult classic here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Amongst
I would agree with that.
JRPG realms. But Sword Art Online is a modern-day Dot Hack. Same philosophy, same structure. It is kids are people. It's not just kids. It's stuck in an MMO, you know, playing this I think in Sword Art Online's, it's literally like VR.
Yeah.
And they're stuck in VR. And they can't remove it and can't take it off because it'll kill them otherwise.
Yeah, and because if they die in the game, they die in real life.
Yeah, because the maker of the game was evil and blah, blah, blah. That's part of the story. That's how it carries on. But anyways, it's become very popular. It's become a series of games within itself, amongst being multiple. I think it's now three anime series now. I think like a technical, the way we describe it in America, a third season. And now it's going to be a live action series.
Okay, I'll probably watch that.
I think I'd be more apt to get down with that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think I'm definitely for something that's like, I picture like a modern day like Johnny Mnemonic or Lawnmower Man.
Yeah.
Like a very, from that realm. I think the fidelity's up there, you know,
yeah,
as far as graphics go, as far as the CG. And I think if the casting's done right, this could be really appealing.
Yeah. Is it going to be like, did you watch the Death Note live action?
Yes, I did.
Is it going to be like that caliber of...
I hope not.
Yeah, same
here. I really hope not.
Sorry to divulge here.
Uh-huh.
But did you hear that they're doing an American version of Death Note? And did you see who they got to play the Shinobi?
Wow, I thought that was a rumor.
Shinigami, sorry.
No, oh, wow. I really thought that in its entirety was a rumor that they were doing that.
Willem Dafoe is going to be the
what?
Yeah, he's going to be the demon.
Wow.
Willem.
So Death Note is going to be live action as well, and Willem Dafoe is going to be in it.
Yep.
So I guess people listening, check out Death Note and Sword Art Online.
You know? Yeah, with Willem Dafoe. Now with more Willem Dafoe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'll watch that.
I'm apt to watch it because you said Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
That's it.
And, like, I'm not going to lie. I kind of want it to be, like, Boondock Saints Willem Dafoe.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Which, to be clear, is the perfect Dafoe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a Dafoe that we haven't seen in years.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of tapped into that a little bit for the Spider-Man movie he was in.
But not so much.
Yeah. There at the end, he was pretty crazy.
A little bit, yeah.
But, yeah, like, oh, man.
Boondock Saints Willem Dafoe is just...
That is the vintage Willem Dafoe.
It is. It's some of the like my favorite. I won't say it's the best acting, but it's some of my favorite acting ever.
Yeah, it's that goofy B movie like.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Over the top.
So good.
Maniacal or crazy, you can't tell. Like it's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Either way. So sorry to derail us there, but yeah, yep. I thought you needed to know that.
Kenny, we're going to talk about your favorite thing.
No.
It's a game that you love so much, you spent so many hours in it, and you're... Kenny, you're the master.
I'm not the master.
Yeah, maybe you're not the master.
let's just get this over with. Let's talk about Pokemon Go.
Well, you say let's get this over with, but there's actually kind of a little bit to cover. Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go... you know from talking to me prior that I really enjoyed Pokemon Go
for the first
2 weeks.
Yeah, I enjoyed it for about the first 2 hours.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But I mean, I loved it. Like, even despite its flaws, despite its broken nature, I really enjoyed its core.
Yeah, you pushed through all the server errors and mm-hmm. all the server issues. And,
yep.
And you actually played it
quite a bit. Yeah. Lindsay and I played it quite a bit, and some friends of I as well that joined us on quite a few of our outings or, you know, evening outings just to go catch Pokemon. I've stopped playing Pokemon Go.
Okay.
I haven't played Pokemon Go in about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Niantic broke the game.
That's a bold statement.
They absolutely broke it. Okay, you're familiar with the game Marco Polo, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, someone says Marco, and then someone says Polo.
Right.
And your goal as the Marco player is to catch the Polo player.
Right.
Okay, it's really simple, right?
Right.
Pokemon Go was effectively the same thing with the Pokefinder.
Yeah.
You know, you're Marcoing with the app, and you're trying to pull up your nearby Pokemon, and then the Polo part of it is it registering with footprints how far away they are.
Yeah.
With this hot cold mechanic.
Right.
So when you're playing Marco Polo in the pool with a buddy, which I'm sure you do all the time, right?
I mean, like, that's like my normal Wednesday night.
when you're doing that, like, your Polo functions as your hot cold mechanic.
Right.
Okay, so Pokemon Go supposedly originally it was a bug that the three-step hot-cold mechanic was a that it was not functioning correctly, and it was a bug that was causing it to always show three steps.
Right.
Effectively rendering it unable to tell how far away a Pokemon was. Absolutely useless. Sure, it showed you nearby, but you didn't know how nearby. You didn't know if it was within 100 meters or 300 meters, and that's what that three-step functioned as.
Right.
One footprint, one step showed less than 100. Right. No, 100 or less. Two was 200 or less. Three was 300 meters or less, which is, you know, it could work because you can triangulate and find Pokemon. With the quote-unquote bug, you rendered it useless. Well, there's a lot of whispers that it wasn't a bug at all.
Right.
Apparently, people data mined the game and reverse engineered, you know, what exactly they were doing behind the scenes with their math. And it seems like Niantic simply turned off the PokeFinder to where it always displayed as three steps. They turned it off because of their server loads.
Oh, really?
Yes. And think about it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
If you're having to display, you know, how far away a Pokemon is and constantly have that back and forth ping between the app and your servers, that's going to require more of a server load instead of just telling them, hey, by the way, this is nearby.
This is nearby, yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like it was rather nefarious in it. And the worst thing about all of the broken aspects of Pokemon Go is the lack of... It seems like there's no, yeah, absolutely. There's no communication. There's no, they're not filling anyone in. There's no Twitter updates. There's no Facebook. And what little we have seen has been too little too late, or it's been really alienating to the fan base.
Right.
And that's the worst offender. It's honestly, I feel like what we're getting from Niantic as far as feedback, what little we have, I feel like it's Bobby Kotick, the sequel.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's something that Activision would pull. But I mean, so now effectively there is no PokeFinder because now they've fixed their quote unquote bug by removing all the steps completely. And they've made it harder to catch Pokemon.
Right.
They run away quicker now, so they'll take more balls to catch them. They run away quicker, and all the damage values have been played with. Everything's been tweaked, and also your character can't detect Pokemon from as large a radius.
Yeah, they took out 30
meters. It's much
meters.
More honed in. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, what I've read is Niantic had the ability to print money with Pokemon Go.
Yep.
And they decided not to.
Yep.
They've essentially said, "Hey guys, we're glad you really liked our game. But we don't really want you to play it anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't want this to be special for you.
Yep.
We just want to take all the fun out of it."
And that's the thing. Like, as a developer, you're always going to have a rude vocal minority. And that's something that you need to be aware of. And no matter if you're developing games or software, no matter if you're ever creating anything for someone else.
You have to have thick
skin.
For
a mass audience, you're always going to have a vocal minority who's very rude and hateful.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if the majority of your players... or even a sizable portion or percentage of your people who are partaking of your product are complaining, you need to listen.
Right.
And not only do you need to listen, but you need to give feedback. You need to be vocal because you're going to, once again, alienate them, piss them off, and they're going to move on.
Yeah. Well, I hate to bring up business in this, but, you know, I work for a small plugin development company.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 600,000 users that are using our product on, you know, not on a daily basis, but, you know, that's our install base is 600,000.
Yeah.
If we had 200 people, which is a small portion of our user base, write in and say, "Hey, we're having a bug with this," we would fix that immediately.
Yeah.
Go on Twitter, let people know, "Hey, this is a problem. Yep. We're fixing it."
And let's say you couldn't fix it immediately. You would at least be vocal with
and
them.
Let people know and communicate
there
with our
audience.
There
would be an apology. There would be an explanation of you know, some kind of marginable time frame. Like something would be laid out.
Right. You can't ignore your users.
No.
Because like Pokemon Go was massive 3 weeks ago. And now I feel like it's petering out. People aren't going
harshly. I mean, I feel like it could still be that prime time app. But they're just butchering it. Like,
yeah,
Niantic is really, yeah, absolutely. And it's so sad to see. You know, they also, with their recent update, they apparently contacted PokeVision, which was a separate app, a separate website that would tell you what Pokemon were nearby, exactly on the map nearby, and it would tell you how long they were going to be there before the server updated and changed Pokemon's locations. Now, it may be quote-unquote considered cheating, or it may be a little far to know exactly where they're at, But even the people who were running it, and there was an open letter sent out by the head of PokeVision to the head of Niantic, and an open letter to Niantic in general, saying, you know, maybe this is pushing it a little far, but you removing the you know, footprints and removing the ability to find or triangulate Pokemon, it really goes to show that that's what people want, because you had, we had 50,000 to 80,000 users daily coming here.
Yeah.
And you weigh that against how many people are using your game.
Yeah, or using your app, yeah.
Yeah, that's, you guys need to listen. And he was like, I'm saying this as a fan. I'm saying this as someone who enjoys Pokemon Go and wants to see it succeed.
Right.
And removing this completely, you know, you're not going to succeed.
Well, I read, and once again, I don't know how true this is. This could just be pure conjecture on the internet, because that does happen quite often.
Sure, yeah.
I read that they had a... They had fired their previous PR person right before Pokemon Go come out because of some like missteps with something she had did. And then they hired a new lady, and this lady was pregnant and went on maternity leave right as Pokemon Go was coming out.
This rabbit hole goes deep.
Yeah, this is what this is allegedly. I don't know. Yeah. Once again, don't know how true this is.
This could be like 4chan code kiddies BS, doing stuff. But
yeah, I do wonder though, because a company like Niantic, who's owned by Alpha, or who has, you know, who essentially is owned by Alphabet, Google, should have like a PR response. And allegedly that person,
you would think,
that person's been on vacation or on maternity leave, and they haven't been able to
respond. That someone would fill that role, even if that was
right,
the case.
Even with that person gone. Like, I mean, it feels like a lot like the Mighty No. 9 situation.
Absolutely. And this is exactly what it reminded me of. Because that was a PR nightmare.
Right.
And all of that, regardless of what final product we got, I feel like much of the hate from Mighty No. 9 stemmed from the either lack of communication or complete...
Just bashing up their fans?
Yeah, absolute bashing the fans. Yeah, the alienation.
So, I mean, I don't know, like, you would think Niantic would have had their stuff together from having, what was that game, Ingress out beforehand.
Yep. For years,
yeah,
right?
And basically, Pokemon Go honestly was just Ingress reskinned.
It's dumbed down Ingress, if we're being really honest.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not, at this point, they should have known how to make this product.
They should, yeah.
But there's just really no excuse for them.
There's not. So, I mean, they've taken a game that I've loved despite its flaws, to the point of where now I can't warrant or I can't rationalize turning it on.
Yeah.
It sucks battery. It's broken. Half the time, you know, can't log in because of the servers. Right. I'm just not willing to fight that battle anymore.
Right.
I'm not, and unless they fix it or come out with like some kind of, I mean, I don't even need an apology. Like, it would be nice if they would come out and just be vocal with us about what they want to do and, you know, have like a roadmap.
Yeah.
But all I want at this point is just fix some things, guys. Like, really. And I'm not going to play the game without a Pokefinder. Like, I'm not, at that point,
you know,
I'm just
going to wander aimlessly around.
Yeah.
Your
at that point, I might as well just walk down any road and just walk straight. And if I don't see anything, I don't see anything.
Yeah, at that point,
it was just a day wasted.
You might as well honestly just use the GPS hack and just, you know, send your little guy out to walk.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to have to waste 2 hours of your life walking around aimlessly without any inclination of where anything is, what's the fun?
And that was the thing, like, you know, with, you know, me going out with my spouse, like, with the Pokefinder working, it gave us a reason to go out and explore, to see new things.
Yeah.
I don't have, it may be different for some people, but I don't have that desire anymore. Yeah.
Well, I think that's partially because of the Pokefinder, but I also think that Niantic's just beating you down mentally, like with how bad everything's been.
Yeah,
everything,
I think so.
Everything about this game,
it's
was
a culmination
primed.
Of yeah.
This game was primed for success, and literally they could have just printed money off this thing.
Yeah.
And they're screwing it up so bad.
Yeah. So what I've been playing on my phone to replace it is Digimon Heroes.
Okay. Nice.
Which, I mean, just a short little shout out to it. I recommend it. It's kind of Puzzle and Dragons with cards and with Digimon.
Okay. You sold me. Sold me.
I mean,
I've been playing a little bit of Digimon Cyber Sleuth, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's just super light, easy to go to. I mean, of course it has a cash shop, but there's no reason to use anything in the cash shop. It's not as ham-fisted a cash shop as Pokemon Go. It's just something that I can just super light pull up, level up my Digimon, go into like a little battle where it's, you know, going down a... It's Puzzles and Dragons.
Okay,
that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But with cards.
Cool.
Yep. So, moving away from that, another announcement. Have you played Inside?
I have not, but man, I've been wanting to.
I really want to play it, and I feel really bad that I can't speak upon it to share with people.
Yeah.
You know, because I was a big fan of Limbo, and I feel like I'm a champion of that game. Like, yeah. Limbo was so good. I got so good.
Many people to play that game.
A lot of people, like, dogged on that game because, oh, man, it's black and white. Yeah. You play as a little bobble-headed boy. That's stupid. I mean, this is back when I still worked at GameStop, and I was like, dude, just get over here. Let me talk to you. Yeah. I don't care how macho you are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how big your balls are. I was like, do you like fun?
Yeah.
Then you're going to play Limbo.
I wouldn't say if you like fun. Do you like good games? Like,
that's true. That's true.
It wasn't a fun game. It was a hard game.
It depends. I don't know.
I don't know. But either way, Inside's coming to PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really exciting because I want to play it on that console.
Brought to you by the makers of Limbo. And essentially, it's that Limbo style design aesthetic, but with a little more color.
Yeah.
More color.
A little more color. Looks a little more dark, like as far as the story goes.
It looks definitely.
Looks a little intense.
Tonally dark.
Yeah. It looks fantastic. And I've only heard good things. I don't want to talk too much about it because it's one of those games where I've went completely radio silent on.
Same here.
I didn't want it ruined for me because.
But I am really happy. I was actually kind of hoping that it would come to consoles as well. Just because I've got so much to play on PC at this time. I feel like my PC backlog has gotten so big that consoles are kind of, aside from it being more comfortable to play on a controller, you know, in recent years, it's just that a backlog is hard to face.
Yeah.
Especially a Steam sale backlog.
Oh, man. So, it's terrifying.
Yeah. So I feel like on consoles, it hasn't got to that point, and it's a little more.
A little more manageable.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, so I definitely look forward to that. Makers of Limbo, play Inside, come August 23rd. That's right around the corner. That was much quicker than I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, me too.
Because, I mean, Limbo took years to come to Sony.
I think it was a year and a half, maybe two years.
I think it may have been 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it was to the point where I was like, yeah, we're never going to get to play this. I did end up buying Limbo on PC because I just gave up.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, it was like a month, 2 months later.
That's how it goes. Yep. If you would have bought it like a year earlier, it would have came out a year
earlier. Month, 2 months later, it came to PS3, and I'm like, I knew it. It's bound to happen.
Yep.
So, Kenny, I think that covers it for this week in the news.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
Cool. Me either. I'm good. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Let's roll.
Please like, share us on Facebook and Twitter. You can find me at Kenny in the Wild.
You can find me at Mongolian Misfit, and you can find us at Hardly Casual on Twitter. Visit the website, hardlycasual.net. We will be having a myriad of written reviews coming up soon.
Yeah.
Be sure and check those out. Aside from that, thanks for listening. Once again, be sure and share our podcast. We are only here because of you.
Yep.
We only do this to bring our voices inside your ear holes.
Luscious voices.
But once again, guys, seriously, thank you very much. For Kenny Hall, I've been John Carter, and this is Hardly Casual.